Sorry,
Hi guys, welcome back to my podcast. You are listening your host Krati Agarwal from Marketing Cafe. I have a very interesting guest with me. His name is Abhay Maheshwari. He has given a TEDx and he has done some amazing work in terms of creative field, in podcast or like in business development. Like a lot of work he has done. His growth journey has been amazing. So I want you to introduce yourself, Abhay, and tell us about your journey. And then I would like to ask you also some questions because it will very much help to our audience. So yeah, Abhay, you can just start with your journey.
Hey Krati, thanks for having me. So yeah, I think it's been a very eccentric, past few years, where starting from a place where I couldn't speak in front of four people put together and like, just couldn't consolidate my thoughts. I think life has come a long way where I'm, speaking in front of a crowd or connecting with people via podcast or storytelling. And all of this, I think, broadly started, when I started working. I always had these thoughts and urges to, speak out my mind, but maybe like growing up during my college days and, undergrad days, I wasn't that confident and felt a little bit, belittled and shy. Not shy probably is not the word, but not very confident to speak things out loud, particularly when you are not one of the coolest in your groups. I think the coolest guy or the so-called, perceived to be the coolest guy, takes up the entire chat room, and you are left with, nothing but to just follow other people's footsteps. So coming from there, I think when I started working, I immediately realized that, none of the technical skills that I have learned in college or the things that I would learn at my job would probably not take me that far as much as communication would. And I've met along with a group of folks who were equally inclined on developing their, public speaking skills or networking skills. Very frankly, I think the only reason why I started going to that particular club, the Toastmasters club, basically, it's a nonprofit that helps people, hone their public speaking skills. So that we had a chapter in our office, and the only reason why I started going to that club was to, just make new friends. I had no initial intent of really like, drastically building my communication and all of that. I didn't even think that I had enough time to do all of that with a full-time management consulting job. So the intent was that, okay, I'll get some different emails in my inbox apart from the client, or I'll interact with more people, which are beyond the scope of my project and, like that. Because even though I couldn't put my thoughts to words back in the day very well, I always was a very outgoing person. Like I was an extrovert. I wanted to interact with people, meet people, and I got that energy and synergy with people. So, so that is where I started going to that club. And while going to the club, I started realizing and I started meeting people who came from different backgrounds, had different commands on communication, right? And it wasn't just about verbal, but even written communication. So that is where participating in the group, participating in the activities, being part of the Toastmasters community, I think that was the starting point where I got exposed to that communication is not a skill which you are innately born with. It is something that you can acquire. Because I had friends back in school and back in college, those folks who are always up for anchoring, or very close friend of mine used to anchor all the school events. And my parents would always say that, okay, Abhinav, though, he's a great speaker for so-and-so reason. But I never could.
Yeah.
So I always had grew up with this inhibition that, okay, communication, if you caught as a child or if it came to you naturally, is something you can master. Else it's not something that one should focus on. But the more actively I got involved, the more I realized that it is a skill that can be gained. In fact, you can change jobs, you can change streams, you can change your life altogether. But I think communication was one thing.
And I
that
think
could...
you are the best example of that, because I've seen you have a variety of careers and you've done a variety of things.
Yeah, I mean, the early on I realized that, you could end up doing, I mean, none of the things that I am doing today or are in my credentials are not, none of them were planned. They kind of happened and as I evolved.
I think on that note, I want to ask this, like if someone is thinking to switch career, because it's not that easy, if they're not happy in their current career and they want to build a new career and all. So what one advice you would like to give them?
See, I think I've been fortunate in a way that I have been in the same organization, and the organization understood whenever I wanted a change, right? So if but that did not come easy. So let me give an example. So within the organization also, there's a set expectation of what I was supposed to do and what I will do. But I wanted to do something beyond that. I wanted to focus on some large scale initiatives and things like that. So a senior of mine gave me an advice that you have to build your own profile, and you have to put in the extra effort to reach something which is not in the defined path, right? So if you want a role which puts you very close to the CEO, the leadership, and you are in a very high stake strategy role, you cannot achieve that by climbing the ladder which everybody has been defined to do. So you will have to put extra efforts. And that's where I started putting that extra effort, working on weekends and picking up initiatives on my own, learning how things are done. So that's how my gradual shift within the organization happened. And the more I started putting effort in the places that I liked and I aligned to, I think the better I was able to do, because I was outside the domain where I was, by default put in, but now I was in a place where I was by choice. So because I was not doing this by choice, I liked it and I was growing in it. That gave me more and more visibility, more and more, opportunities to switch. But I think if I apply it in the if I apply it in the conventional sense, maybe not everybody might be in a job or in a company or in a position where they can get roles of their choice within the next 2 to 3 years. Every single time they can't switch, maybe. I think the intent is the sorry these the advice would be the same, that you have to do some hit and trial, right? You have to spend some time knowing what you don't like, or at least knowing what you like, right? Either of the two approaches. And then you have to take a chance and you have to do the extra work. You can't expect that, oh, I don't like my job, but what will I do? Nobody is coming to save you. You will have to save yourself. I realized this very early that even if you have an ecosystem of friends and family around, at the end, bhugatna aapko hi padta hai. You have to go through those things, right? Be it good or bad. So you will
Yeah,
have to
true,
put that
true.
extra effort. If you want a job, if you want to upskill, you will have to upskill. Now, how that upskill will happen, you will have to search. So when I wanted to focus on storytelling, doing open mics on Saturday, Sunday, and I had to travel from Pune to Mumbai, I pushed a lot of parties away. Or whenever I had something else or extra on my plate, I did not go to some parties or some clubs, and I deprioritized those things. So you will have to make your own way, and you have to make sure that that thing is a priority. Because if that's not a priority and you're not acting towards it, then it's just a dream. It's not a goal. It's not a target. You are probably just ranting about that change, but you're not that keen to invest yourself into it. So
That's
taking that
true.
action is
So
important. You have to really realize that if you want to change, upskill, change a job, do whatever, you have to get into it. And also, by the way, like, it's not necessary that every single time what you will upskill to, and once you have upskilled, it will be an easy journey. If once you have moved, I never did sales in my life. So in 2020, my India lead asked me to start a sales team in a position where nobody in the world is selling or buying anything during COVID. I was starting a sales team. It was like a very steep climb. So even if I was asking for an opportunity and I get it, doesn't mean that now I'm in a comfortable position. I think if
True,
you
true.
want something, you will always have to be ready to like pay the price in whatever form it comes in, right?
That's great. And I've seen in Lal Chashma, you've done a lot longer work, like for 2 years. So definitely there must be quite good learnings and experience you have if you want to share of that.
Yeah, Lal Chashma is a side hustle, right? So I mean, that is something that I was doing with my full-time job, and that was my first entrepreneurial, experience, you can say, in some form, creative entrepreneurship, right? So although it's a creative element that you're writing stories, producing podcasts, and publishing it out, and being engaged with the creative community, I think there was a lot of element that I could, cross-pollinate from my job, where I could pick things, learn things, do things a little differently. I didn't follow, and I didn't do most of the trends which were being done during COVID, or all the reels and all and dances that would keep coming, which were kind of told at that time that in order to gain your reach and potential and attention, you have to be part of the system. But again, that eventually boils down to the fact that what I really wanted to do. So it was a side hustle, and I did it because I really wanted to express myself, and audio became that medium. And while I do acknowledge and I support the audience's appreciation and listenership into it, I always kept myself grounded. So a lot of learnings came through that period where, you get success, you get recognition. So how do you stay grounded? How do you make sure that you have to continue working hard to maintain this success? How do you or maintain this recognition for that matter? And how do you really not let the main thing down, which is your own light, right? Because of which you started. Because a lot of people start as a hobby, as a hustle for themselves, but they eventually end up doing it for others. So now they are building for others, not for themselves, which kind of, in my mind, defeats the purpose, because then this also becomes like a job, right? You started this as a creative outlet so that you could be free to do what you really wanted to do. But now you are really doing what other people are doing, be it trends or be it the type of content. So it was a very good learning in a sense that if you start something, how the external pressure, which is much bigger than a pressure of a job or something, you have like thousands of listeners who add as a, element of who can sway you in the direction that you probably don't want to be, so or want to be. So how do you really stay true to yourself and build something is something that I learned in the last 2 years.
Yeah. So as I've seen, you have done a lot of work in podcasting. So definitely when it comes to podcast growing, a listenership or things like that is very important. So when we talk about engagement of organic listeners or something, so that you can highlight something, people with new podcasters like me or anyone else can, get that interesting insights of how to grow a podcast, how to make people listen and stuff like that.
I don't know. Honestly, I think, if you check out my social media or even if LinkedIn anywhere, you will not see that I'm not very active in putting out, posts and all of that, because I know that there are a lot of myths around being consistent and ye wo blah, blah. Yeah. But as a person, I feel my individual philosophy is to put the effort where it is required to be. Right. So instead of putting up a LinkedIn post every weekend, every day, giving gyan, which probably I'm not that qualified to give, I just focus on writing the best story that I can, right? Summarizing from my own experiences or whatever is the theme. So the quality of that experience when people actually come to your podcast is what is important. It doesn't matter if you are a celebrity, people will by default come to your show if you're a celebrity. But the stickiness of your audience will be dependent on the content you produce and how good it really is. And I'm not talking about the production quality. I'm talking about the value it really drives, right? So if you're producing 5 stories a week or 5 episodes every month, 1 episode a week, but it doesn't really give me, it doesn't have a flow. Let's say if it's a conversation, it doesn't have a flow. It seems like not a very mature conversation and I'm just, talking. I mean, so I don't, I have to really understand as an audience that do I need to really listen to 2 people talking or do I need to tune in to listen to a conversation from which there is a takeaway, right? Or do I need to listen to a story from which by the end of it, I'll either be feel moved or, I'll rejoice, I'll enjoy or I'll introspect or it'll just calm me down. So at the end, you have to establish that connection with the audience, and that doesn't come with being half-heartedly just making something just because it seems to be the trend. So you have to really invest in the craft, do that, and I think the numbers and listenership and all of that will follow, because numbers and listenership, you can have a lot but they may not stick to you or they may not be of any value if the content is not good. I'll give an example. There are a couple of people who try to do clickbait content, right? So they deliberately put the name of the podcast that how to create a podcast episode, because that's the first thing that people would Google. Now they get millions of likes and listens on their podcast, because by default, it's a good strategy. Of course, it's clickbait. It's good strategy. You get a lot of eyeballs and, attention. But when I've spoken to them and when I've heard them speak in various settings, they would say that they don't get listeners in subsequent episodes. because every episode cannot start with the same title that how to start a podcast. So the listener is going to stick to you if they really find that value in how do I start a podcast, right? And if you are not adding any new value or if you're not conveying the same message differently, after a point, listener will realize that yahan pe kuch mere liye zyada hai nahi. There's nothing much to really do. And audio is a sensitive medium. It's a sensory medium. If I don't like something, I wouldn't put those things, you know, unnecessary. And I have done that myself, like many a times. I'm sure you would have also done that after like just listening to like 2-3 minutes, you realize, nah, this is not working out. This might seem like an interesting topic, but I might as well just get the same knowledge from somebody else. So I think just focus on the craft, right? Whatever you're doing. Talking is different from holding a conversation. And that's why certain conversations and certain podcasts do much better than the others, because they're really focused on that craft. You can't bring a celebrity and who has never experienced something in this domain and just suddenly expect them to produce like a very, very great conversation. They can drive content and people because they have the celeb status. They can't drive other emotional connects, which will keep them lambe samay tak unko bana ke nahi rakhega. It'll be like, oh, it came as a trend, peaked up and then went away. It's not going to stay forever, right? So you have to think, and of course, I mean, every creator has its own goals. So me personally, I want to create a content that leaves an impact on people, not just from today, but from the time to come. And that's what I go for. And if the listeners come, well and good. If they don't come, that's also okay. Like I said at the beginning, I do it for my own creative hustle and outlet. And that keeps me grounded to my mission and my goal.
Yeah, great. So that's great what you share. Now, I can see you have done some freelance work in terms of guest lecturership. Like you have been invited or like how you have approached that? Like you have been approached or you have directly approached them? And how, if you can tell a bit of about guest lecture, because it comes into a bit of public speaking also. So yeah.
Yeah, that happened accidentally. I mean, I don't approach these institutions. Frankly, with podcasting and a full-time job, I don't really have the bandwidth to go forth. And these are not freelancing per se. I mean, it's not like that I've, in the true sense that, you know, I'm charging something. It's just like my way of giving back to the community. Particularly, education is something that long time back, even I, you know, thought that there are some things in life you shouldn't make money out of, right? So I think education and social work is something that falls in my bucket for that. And the institutions approach me. I mean, they you know, just like how you and I are having this conversation where you found me, I think similar manner in whatever way the institutions are looking for, they approach, I deliver, and hopefully, you know, sometimes they like it, sometimes they like it and they call me again. So I just acknowledge, their invite by putting up some couple of social media posts, thanking them on the experience. And of course, this is something which is new, because when you go to an education institution, there's a lot of responsibility associated with it, you know, even more than what is there on a podcast or elsewhere, because you are literally shaping somebody's minds. Whatever you say and think can really, really change. You don't know. You don't know how they can change. And if there's 200 people sitting in the audience and even one person over there starts thinking differently because of you, it's a very direct impact. So institutions have approached me. They have found me through various media. Some of them have found me through other institutions. Like if I go and attend one given lecture at one place, somebody is following that page, and then he or she is from a different college. So they find me on different pages, and then they, I think, approach. I honestly don't know, how the process is, but it's been organic so far, and I've been thankful that I've been invited by some of these, you know, very prestigious institutions in the country, and been given a chance to share some of my thought leadership with them.
Okay, great, great. That's great. So now on your last, which you are currently working, I want to know. So now you've done so much of creative work and maybe you want to do continue in that only, but now you're working in ZS, which is so much into like technical, you're doing business development, sales, and a lot of stuff. And you're doing it from a long time. So, do you do creativity thing as a freelance right now also? And like, why you don't want to work as a full-time and creative job, and why you're working in ZS right now?
See, I think, it's a thought that I would not say that it never struck my mind. Of course, it's the obvious thing that would strike that after a point you would want to pursue your passion. But again, it boils down to why am I doing this, right? So, like I said earlier, I am doing it because I like it. See, if I move to a creative side right now, I might get a lot of exposure. I might be able to do a lot of things. But then, with some of the brand collaborations and some of the other non-brand collaborations I have done, I realize that again, it comes with an ownership, right? So you can't really mess up things, or there's no room for nuance over there. That you can't be like, oh, I matlab, today I'm not feeling well, so I'll just take a day out sick. Probably the entire production team is waiting for that just one piece that you will send. Or if I'm, let's say, writing a script for somebody, maybe they're just waiting, and the cost of the shoot goes up by every single hour, like as much as they're waiting. So what I'm trying to say is, if you while you can pursue, I think that's one way to approach it. It comes with an added responsibility, and I don't want with a hobby, which is a creative outlet right now, to become a job, because then I will have to be very, very focused on, okay, who do I deliver, how do I deliver. Then I'm scouting and doing any kind of project that's there. Today I can choose. Today I can choose that, okay, this is my domain, or maybe this is the timeline I have, or maybe this time I cannot work, or this is where I can support. But when it becomes my bread and butter, then that's where, however good I am in my field, if I have to survive, I will have
Yeah.
to pick up projects of all kind. So I think the having a full-time job is not a bad thing. I'm able to manage it. Thankfully, my folks at my office, my manager, my peers, my fellow colleagues, everybody is very supportive. Now I think my journey is very much public in the company, and everybody knows about it.
Okay.
So they have been very supportive, and they equally enjoy my milestones with me. They discuss with me how things are. So that ecosystem, if you have found, then I don't see there is an unnecessary reason to disrupt yourself and get into a zone where you are doing anything and everything that's being asked from you. Like I was approached to write a horror show. I said I can't do a
Okay.
horror show. I don't naturally think dark, right? So I can't write
Yeah,
a horror
yeah.
show. But the minute this becomes my bread and butter, I will have to force myself, and I'll start consuming
True.
more and more horror stuff to, oh, okay, theek hai, let me figure out what can I do. Maybe let's create this ghost and create this paranormal scenario and whatnot. So that's what I want to avoid. I want to be known for things that I'm good at, and not to be known as a person who's just doing anything and everything. And
Okay.
I'm personally satisfied with the projects that come on the creative side. They are sometimes there's remuneration associated with it, sometimes there is not. I'm happy with them coming in the way they are right now. Of course, if they come in bigger capacity, I'm not saying no to it, but I'm saying that I think at this stage in life, and this stage of everything in life, I think it's a good balance that I've been able to strike. And given a
Yeah.
chance where I can, when I can for sure, short, in a very longer term, I can really, really, meet the financial part of it, I would jump in. I mean, I do have a plan. I'm not just doing it for the heck of it. There is a plan, and if the plan works out, I mean, yeah, there's a transition that can happen. But I wouldn't take a decision like on whims and fancies, or an impulsive decision,
True, true.
keeping aside any other responsibility, because I come from a middle
Yeah.
class family. I
There
don't
are a
have the
lot of
luxury that.
trend going on, a lot of like ditch your 9 to 5 job and do this and that.
Yeah, there's nothing harm in it. I mean, see, I learned a lot
Yeah.
of things which I applied on my creative side through the job, right? If you have the patience and have the foresight to look at things and learn from everything, so you need not to be like a need not to be shaming something and moving ahead. I don't shame the creative community to be the way they are. Like, in the creative community, indiscipline is celebrated. Is celebrated. Oh yeah, procrastination is celebrated. I don't blame them. So having
Yeah.
so the same thing should not be done for a 9 to 5 job. Just because a 9 to 5 doesn't mean that I, as an individual, am finding it boring. maybe people might be, but if it doesn't apply to me, then I don't have to unnecessarily be part of it, and I'm free to make my own choices and mature enough to make my own choices in that case. I'll give an example, right? So I was reading this report. I think I don't remember which think tank it was, but they were talking about the creator economy, right? So see, creator economy is booming, definitely. I'm not saying it's not booming. So yes, if somebody takes a chance today, there is a potential for it to compound in the coming few years, right? But everyone, like, had I been like 20-year-old right now, I would have just taken that chance, right? That impulse would have been much simpler. I didn't have many responsibilities. I was in college. I could have done 10 things. At this stage, when I'm almost 30, I don't want to take that chance because there are other responsibilities. My parents are getting old, right? I'm aging. So I not aging, but I'm growing old and wiser. So there are things that will come. So or keeping all, you have to keep your reality in mind, right? Maybe it's very, it's no, I won't say very, but it's slightly, the stakes are less. You can experiment when you are younger, but when you discover a skill, when you are later in the age, when in your age or later in life, you have to keep those realities in mind, while proceeding ahead.
No, that's right. Actually, that's great. What you have told me. So anyway, our journey has been pretty much interesting, and you explained. So as the last question which I ask everyone, I just want to know if someone want to increase their creativity, or they want to work into this, marketing and sales, and want to learn more, then if you can share some resources like books, podcasts, or anything you think one should do to improve it.
To improve creativity, you mean?
Yeah, like how one can improve their creativity, or one can improve their marketing and sales skills, basically.
Okay, all of them are like in very different forms.
Yeah, you can tell one by one.
Yeah, I think, see, some people are able to, or rather, everybody is different, right? So for, let's say, one person is able to look at the same thing in a very creative angle, in a very different angle, and the other person may not. So it is not necessary that the one who is not able to look at those things, he or she also has to increase their creativity, right? Their creativity might come out in very different manners. I'll give an example. A very close friend of mine, he's creative, but his creativity doesn't come in the form of literature or art or performance theater or anything like that. He probably doesn't enjoy that level of creativity as much as he enjoys creativity in doing his own office work, which is creating creative storytelling for the client, creating presentations and all of that. So everybody has that analytical as well as creative quotient. So my first advice here would be to know where you lie, right? If you lie in either of the extremes, that means the things are very clear and you should pursue those and you should be okay with that. I mean, I don't force my friend to unnecessarily come with me and watch a very heavy theater and play and probably, which are layered with so much of wordplay and screenplay that he probably won't understand. So it's not needed. So you identify which you come from, and then based on that, you decide which aspect of the creativity you want to improve. Now, if you're a writer, then the more you consume those things, your creativity will improve. And same applies for on the business side. So you want to improve your creativity in making presentations, talking about your business, you have to be exposed to more of that. So increasing anything requires you to be exposed to more of that. And when I say exposed, in both ways, you have to consume it as well as deliver it. So you can't just be a good writer by reading a lot of Stephen King or reading a lot of Premchand. You need to write it also and keep getting that feedback from the people around you, whether you are becoming the next J.K. Rowling or not, whatever, right? How far you are from that? So consuming the right piece first and then taking the action to do it, I think that is how you can build creativity. I think that applies broadly, in order to think, to anything that you do, including marketing and sales.
True, true.
But again, I can talk about sales here, that somebody like me who could never really be an advocate of my own self for a very long time. I think the way I learned sales is by good communication, right? So by good communication, like I said earlier, it's the only skill you need in life. You can. I'm not saying that to become a rocket scientist you need communication. I'm trying to say that the underlying emotion is to kind of have good communication. Now, again, you keep experimenting in that. So when I was in Toastmasters, a lot of people who I know in that community are still part of that community because they feel appreciated. They are winning the same competition 5, 6 times, but they're in the same ecosystem. But what I felt was that Toastmasters is like a school. You can learn in the school, stay in the school. It's a safe zone. You learn public speaking, but you have to one day or the other step out in the real world, right? You have to
True,
one day or
true,
the
true.
other do conversations with the client. So I deliberately put myself in those situations where if I would meet somebody in the elevator, I would start a small talk and see that how much can I talk from, 0 to 6th floor. And every day I kept literally consciously and cautiously kept improving on this till the day when I realized that, okay, doing sales is all about talking the right thing to the right person and really understanding and listening to what they are saying. So it's a very long journey. You can't become a good salesperson overnight. There
Yeah,
are a lot of books,
definitely.
there are a lot of concepts, but I think inherently to become good at marketing or sales or at creativity also, you need to be good at communication is what I believe. That's at least my underlying, journey. And I could say, because if you're not expressive of things, then you might have the best product you can't really sell. Or if you're not willing to take a risk in your communication that you promise something and then, at the risk of under-delivering. But if you're not taking
Yeah.
that chance and you don't say that, "Achha, I'll give it to you for free, come," right? And then later you are not willing to, you're not, you, tumhara boss aake tumko daant deta hai ki, "Why did you offer for free?" And you are, suddenly taken aback by that, then that means you don't have it in you to stand up to those things, right? I mean, you need to tell your
I
boss
mean,
that, "Boss,
you more want to tell that more you expose
I."
yourself, more you do the things rather than just studying theoretically, more you get into practical, that how you increase any skill.
I think that's true for everything. Yes, exactly. I mean, sales and marketing is something. See, I don't have an MBA degree. I nobody taught me all of this in a B school. But most of the thoughts when I go to B schools and I share my thoughts, they are on the lines of what is written in the textbook. And whatever it is written in the textbook, apart from any core technical knowledge, is pure common sense. I mean, if I have to attract you as a potential customer, all I have to simply do what? Like a simple analysis of what you want, how much you can pay, and are you willing, and where does my product fit in your customer journey? I mean, this you can learn even, online. So it's all about experience and exposure and sales and all of this. I think one should pursue some of this kind of like a sales role once in a while. It really, really gives you a lot of perspective to life in general. Life gyan also gives you a lot of perspective because it's full of rejections. You'll send like
True,
100
true.
messages, one guy will respond, and that
Yeah,
probably will give you a lot of
100.
show up.
In cold emails, you send 1,000, and like, yeah, in sales, like, a lot of rejections are there to get successful.
Yeah, so it prepares you, well for life, and you can develop that foresight if you like early on in your career. If you have done like even 6 months of sales, be it inside sales or hardcore field sales, I think one should do that. It really puts you out and makes you realize your place in the big puzzle that's there.
Great, great. So thank you, Abhay, for this podcast. You have shared amazing lessons with us. I'll put the link of him in the description if someone want to check his profile, connect. He's active on LinkedIn also. So yeah, thank you, Abhay, for the podcast.
Thank you.